Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A great question. I don't want to act like I have every answer in the world.
Dub Nation, it's Trace Jackson Davis. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
You know, we're about to talk, like both you and our next guest on the River Islands guest line, a similarity. Like nobody uses your first name anymore.
No.
You're Dibs.
Just Dibs.
You're Dibs. And our next guest is just a set of initials now. Like, how many people don't even know what TJD stands for? It doesn't matter. He's TJD. And so Willard and Dibs coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. San Francisco is where I am. Dibs is on the scene in Vegas. Warriors Summer League action continuing to unfold. They've got a game tonight. And joining us, a man who knows a thing or two about Summer League in years past, and I think was in Vegas, Trace Jackson Davis. TJD joins us here on Willard and Dibs. Hey, were you in Vegas? Are you still in Vegas? TJD, what's going on?
What's up, guys? No, I just left yesterday. I'm actually back here in San Francisco. So,
okay. And how was the experience? And what, by the way, what is your role when you go out there to Summer League at this stage in your career?
My role is to obviously go support the Summer League guys and our draft picks and everyone that's just grinding out there, but also to get some work in with the team and just continue to just to build camaraderie with the guys and the fellas. Hung out with BP a lot. That was a good time. Hung out with QP, Gee. So just being with the guys. Haven't seen them all summer because I've been down in L.A. training.
So when you go out here and you're working with those guys you just mentioned and also the Rooks, are you involved in individual workouts? Is there scrimmaging against some of the Summer League guys? What actually goes on when you come out here to Vegas?
Yeah, we did a scrimmage one day, but mostly it's just still really early in the off season, so just continuing to build to get in the best shape possible, checking in, see how I'm doing, where my weight's at, where my body's at. But everything's all good. So, but it's been fun. It's been fun being with B, seeing him. We basically just were together all season and then kind of went our separate ways. So, but seeing him, QPG, it's been a great time.
Trace, I wonder what you envision for your role this year, particularly, and I know more moves are on the way, but particularly because one of the centers on the team has left for New Orleans in Kevon Looney. So what's in your mind's eye right now for the upcoming year?
Yeah, obviously we love Loon. The way that he helped me just was tremendous. Just who he is as a person, who he is as a player, the ultimate team guy, the ultimate teammate, someone that you want to be around. And I have a lot that I can thank him for. I have a lot that I have to offer because of him and how to do things the right way. And but at the end of the day, we still got to win. Me and QP got to gear up and get ready. Obviously, we're trying to make some moves here, so we'll see how that plays out. But at the end of the day, we got to be ready to go. And so that's the biggest thing for me. I think that's the biggest thing I could say for QP is when that first preseason game hits, we're full speed running, and so we just got to keep stay locked in and keep grinding.
What about the emotional part of having Kevon leave? You know, somebody who was obviously a big part of the fabric of this team for 10 years and somebody with whom you worked closely as a big man. How does it hit you in more of a personal way having Kevon be gone?
No, yeah, he was one of the first people to text me when I got drafted my rookie year. And so we built a great relationship. He's taught me so much and just how to handle things the right way, not playing, always doing stuff at the highest level possible, but just overall a great person, and he's going to be missed dearly. But at the end of the day, it is a business, and he got some good money over there in New Orleans. I know him and JP are boys, so it's good for him. But at the end of the day, we're going to miss him over here.
Trace Jackson Davis with us on Willard and Dibs. Okay, with all that said, TJD, on some level, did it feel like a little bit of a vote of confidence from the team at your position to allow one of the others to leave?
Oh, absolutely. I've talked to Mike, I've talked to Larry, I've talked to all those guys, and what they're saying is, at the same time, you guys got to be ready, and we're going to hit this ground running. And I talked to Steve and all the guys and coach, and just being ready, because we obviously have a lot of talent on the team already. We got Draymond, we got Steph, we got Jimmy. We had a great record second half of the season, and so we got to continue to build off of that. And like I said, I think there's still moves to be made, but that core group won us a lot of games, and we just got to continue to build, continue to work, and that's what we're going to do.
Individually, what are you working on this offseason, and what do you look at so far through your career as an area where you need to improve?
I felt like from last year to this year, something that really struggled was just my body in general. I felt like during the off season last year, I got hurt. My knees, my body fat, my weight weren't where they needed to be. And I think that affected me tremendously on the court. I felt like I didn't have the pop, I didn't have the bounce that I had my rookie year. And so getting back to finishing at a high level above the rim, dunking on people and doing stuff of that nature, blocking shots and getting out and running in transition is where I thrive and where I can help Jimmy and Draymond and provide that vertical rim space and take some of the stresses off of Draymond on the defensive end of the floor. And so that's the biggest thing that I've been working on, just running, getting my body in the best shape possible. Obviously, there's little things like free throws and stuff like that I need to lock in and hone in on that I've been doing day to day. And so, but I think that if I can get my body back to where it was my rookie year and how I was playing my rookie year and finishing at a high level again, I think that helps the team tremendously.
Trace, I wonder if it's not just free throws. Like I listened to a team that clearly talks a lot about floor spacing bigs, and they go out there and they draft Quentin Post, and there's rumors about Vucevic in Chicago all year mm-hmm. long. Like, does this ever cross your mind? Like, do you want to work on some sort of an outside jump shot a little bit more?
Yeah, I work on my outside jump shot, but at the end of the day, I feel like just having Steph, BP, Buddy, those are the guys that are going to take majority of the shots. And if I'm able to apply pressure and setting screens and getting downhill to the rim, and having guys help off of those guys and having an open Buddy in the corner because they have to take away a lot, I'll take that 10 out of 10 times over me shooting a three. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely something that you have great awareness of. And when you're surrounded by that much shooting, it makes perfect sense. And I wonder about the defensive side of the game for you, because a lot of times, you know, Draymond takes the five, and when you're in there, you have that same role. Is that something that you're looking at now as a greater challenge when you look around the West and all these great big men that are in the conference?
No, absolutely. And that's something that if me and Draymond are able to play together and me taking the five and letting him be the rover that he is, and that's where he really truly excels, where he can just play quarterback and tell everyone what to do. So taking that pressure off of him is huge. And obviously he's getting a little bit older now, so just trying to help him do that. And that's just something that I'm going to have to continue to work on. And I feel like, again, if I get my body in the best shape possible, I'll be able to do that.
TJD is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Trace Jackson Davis, you mentioned working out in L.A., but then recently you were in Vegas. What about Trace the Guy with a free evening? Would you rather spend it in L.A. or Vegas? Which fits you better?
So I spent it from Tuesday to Sunday in Vegas, and I felt like that was about 3 days too long. So I'd much rather spend it in L.A.
Now, you're not the first one to think that multiple nights in Vegas is too many, but, like, why? What is it that makes you feel that way?
Well, first off, it's just the heat in general. It's so hot there, man. Like, you can't even go outside half the day. And so I'm big on going outside. I'd rather just go and be in L.A., go to the beach, chill, and be like that instead of being inside in a smoke-filled hotel. Like, I'm cool off that, honestly.
And probably the gambling side of it, is that something that appeals to you, or is the proliferation of smoke, is that such a turnoff that you don't even want to be down there gambling?
Oh, I hit the tables, and then I lose money, and then it's basically like going up to my room and just be like, why did I do that?
That second contract will make it easier, Trace.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is it a blackjack thing, a roulette thing, a craps thing? What's the game?
Me and QP hit the blackjack tables, and I was going strong for 2 days. And then obviously when you keep playing, the house is always going to win. And then you try to do a different game. So I went over to roulette, and it didn't help me at all either. So I just gave up.
You mentioned QP. Have you ever played chess with him?
No, I refused to play chess with him because he tried to trick me.
What does that mean?
He was like, because we have the chess app, and he's like, yo, play me in chess. I'm not that good. I'm like, and then I look at his score and it's like 1600. It's like triple mine. And I'm like, dude, like, I'm not playing you. Yeah, you're way too good.
And did you hear that he won this event out there this week?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I know, because I played Mo before, and Mo's really good as well. And QP beats Mo pretty easily. So I'm like, this dude's really good.
Yeah, a definite pecking order in the chess world. Outside of chess, when you're on the road during the season, how do you decompress? Is it online gaming? Is it something else? What does TJD do on the road as an NBA player to kind of take his mind off the game?
Usually I'll go out to eat with my teammates and some of my coaches. We have, like, team dinners that we go to as a team. What else do I do? I love watching TV series. I've been watching Entourage, and that's been hilarious. And so, but other than that, playing the game, usually if I'm playing the game, I'm playing with DP. Me and him grind Call of Duty, but I've been off of it this summer, so I need to get back on track.
You're back on Entourage? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, I've never seen it. My buddy recommended it to me.
Who do you like?
Show.
I mean, you've got Johnny Drama, you got E,
yeah, Johnny,
you got
Drama,
I mean, who's your
hilarious
favorite? Yeah.
But Ari Gold is just, he reminds me so much of my agent, and just the way that he speaks. Probably not a good thing, but at the same time, I just think it's hilarious.
Oh, gosh, that's great. Trace Jackson Davis with us on Willard and Dibbs. TJD, I want to ask you how this entire Kuminga conversation feels to a teammate. He's literally become one of the linchpins of the entire NBA offseason. and so from your perspective, having played with him, I don't know, how do you process this? What do you think?
I process it in a sense that JK is, he was a great teammate. He's a great person. Like, he's someone that, obviously, we're going through a similar situation, and so we're on the bench, we're joking around, we're talking, but he's just trying to make the best decision for himself. And I know that he has some of the vets, like Dre, Steph, Jimmy, he can always go and talk to them. But at the end of the day, we all want what's best for JK, and I know he's going to make that decision, and he's going to make the right choice, and whatever that may be. I'm not worried at all, because he's a friend first before he's a teammate, and we all want him to make the best decision for himself.
Man, Trace, that's an interesting comment when you say you guys are going through the same thing over there, and I get it. Like, you may have even heard Kevon Looney recently did a podcast and talked about how hard it is to have a team not put you out there when you want to be out there. I think people look at things differently when it's a lottery pick and all of that. But I wonder if you can speak to that, because all of you are competitive. You all want to play. How do you describe that feeling when you want to be out there and it's in a way not your turn, or the team is not looking to you?
Yeah, obviously it sucks. I come from a place where in college I started every game. I played 30 to 40 minutes a game, and I did it at a high level. And coming here, you got to wait your turn, and it sucks. Like, even my rookie year, I got more minutes than I did this year. And obviously you want to make sure that you stay level-headed, but at the same time you know you can help, and you got to keep your confidence up. You got to keep working on your game. But it's hard, especially I kind of understood it because I kind of went through a little rut in the middle of the season. And so I didn't want to play, but I kind of knew what was going on and we were winning games. So I'm always going to be a team first guy in that sense. But you always got to stay ready, because coach is just someone that, like you saw, we play Minnesota, you play good one game. I haven't played in about a month and a half, and then you're starting the next game. And so that's just something that can happen with him. And but we just always got to stay ready. And yeah.
Yeah, I totally get it. And by the way, with regard to the position you play, and you referenced earlier that more moves are coming, I'm sure you're aware of the widely reported rumor that the Warriors and Al Horford have been talking a lot. Yeah, how does that potential acquisition grab you?
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable, because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
I think it would be great for us. Another floor spacing big. He's a little older, so obviously me and QP are going to get our fair share of minutes as well. But just having him teach us, being a part of the winning culture, I think that's going to be great for me and QP and our development.
Trace, you're always a pleasure to talk to. We thank you so much for making yourself available. Enjoy the rest of the summer, and I know we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Okay, there he is. Trace Jackson Davis joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. Always honest, always has a lot to say. Love talking to that guy.
Yeah, and I love his tense usage, whether it was intentional or not. And he said Jonathan Kuminga was a great teammate. And he said Al Horford is going to be great to mentor us. And I can't help but think that, well, he knows more than you and I do, certainly. But just the way he was framing that makes me feel some type of way about both of those different things. And remember, his agent that he referred to,
yes,
one of his agents, happens to be Mike Dunleavy's brother.
Right.
So I would imagine that he's got more insight into what's going on behind the scenes than most other players.
Well, I got to imagine, and this is totally just my perception, but especially after everybody goes out to Vegas and they're all together out there, and this thing is so prolonged and drawn out, I got to think just about everybody in the NBA, if you're in that fraternity, you kind of know a little bit about what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, you know what pops into my mind when you mention it that way? Do you remember that Warriors poker tournament that was going on the night of the Luka trade?
Yeah.
And Draymond has told this story to where they were told and they thought that Kevin Durant to the Warriors was just about done. And the rumor was spreading around, and Draymond said, I went and talked to Steph, and I'm like, dude, I think we're getting Kevin Durant back. And they're all talking about it, which means, again, to your point, like, they're all ahead of the game. They talk to each other. They know what's going on. And then it fell through, and Draymond goes and says, Steph, that, you know, the trade. And he's like, it went through? And he's like, no, not that one. Like, holy crap, Luka is on the Lakers. So sometimes a surprise like that can happen, but not usually. And so I think you could hear it in his voice. Mark Stein, too. I mean, it sounds to me like the league just knows that Al Horford is already on the Warriors.
Yep, for all intents and purposes, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, TJD actually referred to it a couple of different times, like, help is going to be on the way. And then you asked him about Al Horford, and he all but said, yeah, it's going to be great having Al here to really help mentor himself and QP. So I do think that hearing Trace Jackson Davis talk in that fashion makes me feel even more confident that they are going to get Al Horford.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Listening to Mark Stein talk about it, chatting there with Trace Jackson Davis, I think you can sort of get the feel that while all of us on the outside, we're waiting for that breaking news sounder, we're waiting for Twitter to go crazy, but on the inside, it feels much more calm because I think that they get it. I think that they know exactly what's going on, and that it really sticks out to me that Mark said sometimes with certain organizations, things have to go in a certain order. It doesn't mean that they're not happening, but certain things have to go in a certain order. And so, I don't know, it makes me feel a little bit different about the way the Warriors are conducting themselves this offseason. It feels to me suddenly like they are a little bit more active than they've been. We just haven't arrived at breaking news time yet.
Yeah, and we haven't arrived at the real piece, which is Jonathan Kuminga, and how does that get resolved? And when that actually gets resolved, then I think these other dominoes will fall rather quickly. But as Mark Stein was saying to us earlier in the show last hour, there is no timeline. And you even said, yeah, call you tomorrow. And he said, I won't have an answer tomorrow. So it might be a week or two. Who knows how long it'll be. But, you know, I don't get a sense that a resolution is coming quick other than Kuminga just saying, you know what, I'm going to bet on myself and go ahead and keep me for 7.9.
Yeah, but at the same time, you also heard Mark say, like, it's very, very rare that guys will do that because that whole betting on themselves, it feels romanticized to me. People are like, bet on yourself. And I would imagine it's like, it's not that Jonathan doesn't believe in himself. It's that Jonathan realizes the rigors of a season, and that's just a risk that he doesn't feel like he should have to take. I don't want to go out there and sky above the rim for 82 nights as Jonathan Kuminga and then just hope that everything is going to be healthy. I'm going to get minutes. I'm going to score points, and then I get to be an unrestricted free agent. Like, it may not work out that way.
Right. It may be your best option, though, if the other offers are not what you want. If the other offers involve 3 more years of Warriors team control, then maybe you end up betting on yourself. And you heard Trace Jackson Davis talk about it when you asked him about the Kuminga comp and the feeling that, you know, you must go through. And TJD's like, it sucks. He started every game in Indiana. He played 30 or more minutes every single night. And then you come here and you got to wait your turn. Meanwhile, you look around the league and other people in your draft class are getting to do what he did in college, which is start all the games and play 30 minutes a night and go out there and show what you can do. So the fact that he used the phrase, it sucks, and he wasn't speaking for Jonathan, but Kuminga is in the exact same situation, and he's actually been doing it for 2 years longer where, you know, TJD even said it. One night you're in Minnesota, and you start, and you play a ton, and you play well, and then the next night you're back on the bench.
Yep, but you know what really strikes me, though, that I'm glad we're having this conversation? I think we make that so much more dramatic and nefarious than it is. You know, and this goes back to the thing, you and I have talked about this so often. This idea that Steve Kerr has like mean bones in his body and selects certain players to hate and like get in the way of their career. I think it's so moronic that there are people who actually look at it that way.
Yeah, that's not the way I'm describing
it. No, I know you're not. I know you're not. But you know that that thought is out there. And I would rather people hear from someone like Trace Jackson Davis, who is not a controversial figure in this story, and Kevon Looney, who is not a controversial figure in this story, and just understand that there's not a damn player in the NBA who doesn't think he should be playing. That's right. That's just the way it is.
And there's also the sense that, you know, all these players who do think they should play, and when they're not being allowed to play, it does suck.
Yes.
And if you're, you know, Kuminga and TJD, and, you know, Kevon said it in not so many words, but he expressed the same sentiment, which is, yeah, I want to know my role. I want to be able to go out there and do what I do. And, you know, all of a sudden now you don't trust me. And for TJD, he, in his 2 years, there have been times where, man, he's arrived and he's the dude. And then all of a sudden he gets all these DNPs and it looks like he's lost and all the rest of it.
So 4:30 in the afternoon suddenly became a really, really big deal. An hour from now, because, by the way, we had told you a while ago, Jason Richardson was going to join us at 3:30. Jason would like to move to 4:30. So Jason will move to 4:30. So an hour from now, not only will we have Jason Richardson, but that's also when we're going to continue our All-Star Week prize blowout. Every day this week, every show, every day. Get that. Every day, every show, we've got an awesome prize. And today, we're giving out a Giants prize pack to a lucky listener, Matt Chapman bobblehead, presented by UCSF Health, a Giants puffer vest presented by Ghirardelli, and a Jung Hoo Lee hooded shirt presented by Life Plus. Listen at 4:30 to learn how you can win. So all of that is an hour away. Coming up next, if you want to weigh in on how the offseason feels after listening to those two conversations, 888-957-9570. Oh, and Dibs, coming up next, I'd like to try to make the Giants' first half feel less frustrating.
All right.
Can I try that?
It's not that hard, but yeah, you can do it.
Okay. Well, maybe you're not. I think a lot of people are there, but let's give it a whirl. Coming up next, Dibs is in Vegas. I'm in the city. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your questions?
On 95.7 The Game.
Well, controlling a Twitter feed is not something anybody should even try to do anymore.
No. Nope.
In my opinion. Especially if your name's Ramona Shelburne, by the way.
Well, I mean, if you say something or you tweet something, it becomes newsworthy right away. Same as Mark Stein, our guest earlier today.
Maybe that's why so many times he's just like, "Woo! Wish I could tell you that answer, but just going to have to wait and see."
Yeah.
But I did like the way that he sort of came at it from the perspective of, look, if you're a frustrated Warrior fan, be frustrated. I get it. But in a way, this is out of a lot of people's control, and it just falls a certain way that the Warriors happen to be involved with a handful of stories, maybe even the biggest story, with regard to what is still kind of dangling out there. But I also got from him that that's not cause for concern. Like, it's not Horford, Melton, and Jonathan Kuminga are not going to still be looking for clarity and teams in September and October. Like, this is going to get figured out. And he made it sound like the Horford and Melton side of it is a lot more further along than the Kuminga side of it.
Right, and I don't think that the Horford and the Melton side of it can really get resolved until you have a complete closure on the Kuminga side of it based on how much money you're going to have to pay Jonathan Kuminga. And so hearing him speak so definitively about Horford and Melton tells me that either Kuminga's going to come back on the qualifying offer or he's going to get a sign and trade and be somewhere else.
That's
kind of the way I see it.
Well, really? Why do you see it that way?
Because if you wanted to give Kuminga $15 million a year, doesn't that take you out of the running for both Melton and Horford?
No, because they would still have the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is probably about what Horford will command. And for all we know, coming off the injury, Melton might be signing a minimum deal. I really don't know. But I don't think it, you know what I mean? I don't know how the numbers would play out, but I would find that believable.
Yeah, even at $15 million, and I think it was Bobby Marks who talked about, you know, when you get to 17, 18, 20, that's where it becomes preventative to have all that still happen. So I guess it's possible that you could sign Kuminga to a three-year, $45 million deal, and you could make it so the number this year is actually smaller than the number in subsequent years, and you could make all of it work.
Yeah, you absolutely could. Now, I don't know if Jonathan would want to do that, and that might well be one of the holdups, but it's coming. That day is coming, man, when that breaking news sounder is going to hit. 888-957-9570. Let me ask you this, Dibs. And Dibs is live in Vegas for Summer League. We will talk to Jason Richardson in a little bit less than an hour. We've already had Mark Stein and Trace Jackson Davis on the show. Odyssey app or YouTube, if you'd like to check those out, if you missed any portion of them. But let me ask you this, and I think I know the answer, but it feels like we have this conversation a lot in sports media when you're covering certain teams. People go, hey, who's closest to a championship, right? Like, who's got the best shot this year? Giants, Niners, Warriors. What if I asked it to you this way? Which one of them would mean the most to you?
The Niners.
Why?
It's been so long. And, you know, the Giants would mean a lot because they're not favored. And I don't know the exact odds, but they're probably about 50-50 to even make the playoffs right now.
I'll get that
based on the wild card chase. The Warriors, we've kind of done it. And, yeah, it would be number five for Draymond and Steph, and that would be really cool. But we've already gotten four of them, so for me, the meaning of that one, we already had the surprise one in 2022. So for me, the meaning behind this one would be a little bit lesser. But for the Niners, it would be the biggest because it's been 30 years. And, you know, Shanahan can't win the big one, and that would mean that Brock Purdy most likely is the one who gets it done.
Yeah,
so.
Well.
It's close, and you can argue any of the three, but for me, it's the 49ers.
Okay, by the way, just a quick aside on your estimate on what the Giants' playoff odds are. You said about 50-50.
Yep.
I will tell you you're correct. It's about 50-50, but it's either a little bit above 50 or a little bit below. Which do you think it is?
A little bit below, I would say.
Yep, you're absolutely right. 44.9.
And this is according to FanGraphs?
Yeah, okay. FanGraphs has the playoffs at 44.9% for the Giants right now.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Yeah, that's not great. Not great, but I mean,
yeah, it's not
they're
terrible.
In the mix. But
yeah, like, I mean, look, you're going to get three wild card teams. Fangraphs thinks that the Mets and Phillies are both going to go. The Cubs and Brewers are both going to go. And then both at a little bit below 50% are the Padres and Giants for the last spot.
Okay.
So, and they're a half game behind the Padres. So literally, they could become the favorite there, you know, on Thursday, depending
right.
on the way games play out.
And maybe I'm just channeling my inner Butch because I was listening to the guys probably yesterday, might have been today, just talking about – actually, it was today because I was listening to the Steiny Guru Joe and Joe crossover that they did
yeah.
early this morning.
Yeah,
and
that was fun.
Yeah, super fun. And, you know, the idea of if you finish one game back, which game will you go back and look at and say, wow, I mean, that's the one that got away because you got swept by Miami – you lost one to the Rockies, Sunday against the Dodgers. You know, you start to think about those games that, quote, got away if you wind up one game out.
By the way, were they doing that in a multiple choice sort of a way or just pick any game you want?
I think Joe was doing, Shasky was doing a little bit of free form, you know.
Okay.
Just kind of rattling off in his brain.
The Ryan Walker blown save in Anaheim is the one that jumped to my mind when you asked that.
Okay.
That's like the most ridiculous loss of the year. So far.
Yeah, pretty bad. I was thinking about the loss against Colorado where,
yep.
I mean, you made just a slew of errors and you lost to a team that really isn't very good.
Oh, my God. That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said about them.
Right?
I can't believe you said it that way.
Well.
They literally might be the worst team of all time.
They might be. They're at 229 winning percentage, and I don't think I have my notes with me, but that is right about the level of what the worst ever would be.
Well, the other thing, because it's a fun metric that we like to play with now, is run differential. And I was looking this up over the weekend, and the Rockies are on pace right now to break the modern era. So essentially since 1900, they're on pace to break the record for the worst run differential of all time.
Yeah, which is minus 345 is what the worst is. I actually do have my notes, and I was able to pull those up. So minus 345 is the worst ever. And winning percentage, the Philadelphia A's had a 235 winning percentage, and
yep.
right now the Rockies are at 229.
Right,
so.
And already at 253 below on run differential.
Oh, wow. So, I mean,
253.
Yeah, they're going to shatter that thing.
Well, maybe. Remember, we are more than halfway through the season, but still,
right.
like, I mean, it is unbelievable how bad they are.
Yeah, and bad on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, normally a Colorado team will be, at worst, a middle-of-the-pack offense, and then you can have the worst pitching staff. We get that. But this year, I think they're bottom and bottom in ERA and run scored.
I'm sure they are. They've given up almost 600 runs this year, dude.
Wow.
Almost
yeah.
600 runs. The Giants haven't even given up 400 yet. So, anyway, back to what we were talking about. Here's why I asked, and I totally get your answer probably resonates with a lot of fans, especially those who might be a little bit like on the younger side, because clearly just about everybody listening, unless you're a real young pup, you know, like you've seen the Giants win a World Series and you've seen the Warriors win an NBA championship. But a lot of people, like including the guy sitting next to you, like you've never seen the 49ers win a Super Bowl. So maybe that's why that would make sense and resonate with a lot of people. But here's why I asked. And I'm not saying this year, but through the years. For example, when the Warriors at long last won their first NBA championship, I was awestruck. Like, I lived the first half of my life going, well, that'll never happen, because they're right. One of the worst organizations in sports. The 49ers, at my age, I never really got a chance to get going in life without the 49ers winning Super Bowls. On my 7th birthday, they won, and then they won every other year for 10 years. So they won a bunch. But the Giants, Dibs, in 2010, I cried.
Yeah.
I cried when Cruz struck out. And so I started thinking about that today.
You crying?
No, not me crying, but why did baseball make me feel that way? Because I wouldn't consider myself as somebody who loves the Giants more than the 49ers and Warriors. I'm a diehard for all three. The entry point is different for all three, sure. But that was something that just, it struck me that way. And I think I started thinking about it like this. Baseball, you sometimes win the World Series with no warning. You know, you got to September in 2010, the Giants weren't even in first place. It didn't even look like they were going to the playoffs. Think of the Oklahoma City Thunder this year in the NBA. You saw it coming. You may not have believed it or wanted to or whatever, but the NBA, and to a degree the NFL, they advertise what's about to happen as far as the championship. Baseball, sure, there's lots of teams that are just in perennial tank mode, but it's so damn hard and so damn painful. Being a fan of a baseball team, Dibs, sucks. It sucks to care about it because it is so, by definition, frustrating even when you're good. We nicknamed World Series teams torture because it's painful. And I really think that's a part of what's going on with this year's Giants. We look at it, and I think people go, this is frustrating, and in the end, it's not going to go well, and Devers isn't hitting, and they're just not good enough to beat the Dodgers. And I would argue, you don't see that stuff. You don't know what's going to happen in the World Series in July. You just don't. And so it's a completely different experience that even when it's going well is really, really frustrating. And that's what I think is going on with the Giants right now. It's actually going really well, but it feels really freaking frustrating because that's baseball.
Well, yeah, it's the nature of the sport. And if you look at the best team in baseball right now, they've lost 38 times. That means if you're a diehard Tiger fan and you've watched all 97 of them, 38 times you were frustrated because your team lost. Yep. And if you think about the best NFL teams, the best NFL team usually goes 14-3, maybe 15-2. Well, that's only 2 days out of a 4-month run to the playoffs where you could be frustrated. And maybe that game happens where you face another really good team and you're not frustrated, but the point is you spend all that week a little bummed because your team lost, but you know what? We're still 10-1 and we're probably going to the playoffs and all the rest of it. In baseball, the frustration or the joy, it all happens in a 24-hour period. So, yeah, the Tigers have lost 38 times. They have the best record in baseball with a .608 winning percentage. That's not very good relative to Oklahoma City, 68-14. Best team in football, 14-3. The Tigers have the best record, and they've only won 60.8% of their games. So I think that is where a lot of the frustration stems from.
That's a great illustration. Like, those 38 losses, that's probably more than the Kansas City Chiefs have had in the last 7 years.
Maybe in the Mahomes era, right?
Like, and I don't have that in front of me, but I'm just thinking to myself out loud here, you know, whether it's playoffs, whether they won the Super Bowl or whether they didn't. In the last 4 or 5 years, The Chiefs have probably averaged losing, what, maybe six times? Six or seven times?
Actually,
maybe?
Four is the answer.
Four?
Like, yeah,
playoffs
they've
included?
They've lost 16 games. Well, just in the regular season, they've lost 16 games.
In the last 4 years?
In two of those years, they lost one playoff game each because the other 2 years they won it. So
that's 18.
18 losses in the regular season and the postseason in 4 years.
In 4 years, a Chiefs fan has been bummed after the game 18 times.
Right. And if you take the other 3 years of Mahomes and you go all the way back, Mahomes has 10, 18, 26 losses in the regular season for Mahomes in 7 years. And the Tigers are at the break, and they've lost 38. So
do you get what I'm saying, man?
I totally get it.
Yeah, this is – so we looked this up, too, and I wonder how this lands with people. So what do you think the Giants' record was? They have played – how many games have they played? 96. They've played 96 games so far. No, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. They've played 97 games.
Yep.
97 games. What do you think the 2010 – San Francisco Giants record was after 97 games?
Probably about this, 52-45.
You are damn right. They were two games better. Okay? So when you look at this group, we haven't even gotten to the trade deadline, so you don't even know what's coming next. And secondly, I don't think anything that's happened up until now, quite frankly, has anything to do with what's going to happen in September. And potentially October. Maybe Verlander figures it out. Maybe Birdsong finds the strike zone. Maybe Devers starts looking like Devers. Maybe it goes the other way. Maybe Logan Webb suddenly loses his fastball. Like, I have no clue how this is going to go, but I think most Giants fans are cruising around in life kind of frustrated, like, ugh. Like, it's just, and I, you know what? It's actually going really well. It's going really well. And these things don't take shape until you get to September. The Giants of 2010 entered September, not in first place, and quite frankly, not terribly close to first place. But the Padres completely fell apart, and the Giants grabbed the division from them in the last week, and then off we went to the greatest thing that had ever happened to Giants fans in San Francisco. And so, like, I see that as a possibility for no less than 10 baseball teams this year.
They're probably even more than that.
Maybe.
If you look at the parity, and I mentioned Detroit with a 608 win percentage, number one in all of baseball. And if you look at all the playoff teams, and I'll just go to the National League, and the Giants right now are in seventh place. And they're at 536, so they're only about six games behind Detroit. I know Detroit's in the other league, but the same thing applies for the National League, where the Cubs have only five more wins than the Giants do.
Right.
And the Cubs are the number one seed. So this whole thing is so tightly packed. It's a lot like the NBA was last year, where you had that wild parity. Outside of OKC, you had seeds 2 through 8 or 9 all packed in a bunch, and I think baseball in the National League is going to be the same this year.
Like, I mean, if you just grab the MLB standings, you live in a different city. You don't follow the Giants. You don't live and die by it. You don't care who gets hits. None of them are on your fantasy team, whatever. You pick it up, and you see that the Giants are 52-45. What do you think about the Giants as far as whether they're a good team, a bad team, a mediocre team? Like, what would you say about the Giants if you didn't live
they're
here?
They're good. They're a good team.
Yeah.
Good little. I'd probably say good little team.
Would you say
just
little?
Just because that's what we say.
Just because you want to pat them on the head?
Well, because they're not great and they're not mediocre. You're seven games above. Like, for me, mediocre is the Reds at 50-47 and the Diamondbacks at 47-50. That, to me, is mediocre. You're right there about 500. The Rockies and the Pirates and the Nationals are just straight bad. The Marlins are threatening bad, as are the Braves. You have a couple teams that are mediocre and about five or six teams that are, they're good little teams.
I would just look at it from the perspective of, let's, okay, so what would you say, here, you don't live in Philadelphia. What would you say about the Phillies?
Phillies, they're a good team.
They're a good team. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They've won three more games than the Giants.
Right.
They just came here. The Giants took two of three from them. Like, this is what I'm getting at. I honestly believe that the frustration that exists, it's real. It's fair. but it's just because you're a fan. Like, they're, I'm not saying there's nothing to work on. Buster's got some deals to make, like any good team should. Someone just texted in on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line and said, and this is 925, this is, it's going fairly well, I would say. Their offense is not good. Right, their offense is not good. Again, compare it to 2010. Guess what? Their offense wasn't good either. Like, we coined something called being Matt Cained. That was on that team. And that was an offense that would not give run support to a good pitcher. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's all. I just think being a baseball fan sucks. That's what I think.
It's just baseball. And if you get caught up in the day-to-day, then you're going to have a hard time being a fan because, as I mentioned, you're going to lose a ton of games. Let's just say the Giants win 90 this year, which is, by all measurements, a good year.
Yes.
That's 72 games that you're going to lose. And of the 72, if you're going to be frustrated 72 times, well, then you're fanning in a way that I particularly don't necessarily want a fan. Yeah, you go through ups and downs. There's games you should win. You get a walk-off inside the park three-run home run from your non-hitting catcher.
Right.
Can we remember that as found money as we go down this road of Giants baseball is torture? Because of all the games you've given away, that was one that you took. And I know you took it with a big at-bat and a clutch hit and all the rest of it, but you got an unbelievable bounce off the bricks, and your catcher touched them all, and you won.
Brother, they lead the majors in walk-offs.
Yeah.
They lead the majors in walk-offs. So it's just like a great athlete, you know, Kobe Bryant or whatever. When you ask him about all the wins at the championship level versus the losses, they always remember the losses a lot more.
Yeah.
We fan the exact same way. We can sit here without any hesitation and name every time a Giants closer has blown a lead. But we don't know. We leave out the fact that the Giants have stolen a bunch from the other team's closer, and even some that ended up as losses. Look at the game on Sunday against the Dodgers when Luis Matos came up and whacked a two-run homer to tie a game in the bottom of the ninth inning. Like, they've had that knack. They have walked off the other team more than anybody else in all of baseball. So I don't know, man. Like, I look at it as a team that has a great pitching staff. They don't give up. They fight. They've got a little bit of a clutch knack to them. And, yes, they are frustrating on offense, checks notes, like most of the teams in the majors. It's really hard to hit. And the nature of a team that's good, not great, is just really frustrating. This is the baseball experience.
Yeah, and not for every team. And, you know, you look at the Dodgers and the Cubs and the Yankees, and they don't have to decry a lack of offense. And it's funny how you always mention the 2010 offense, because this offense dreams it was as good as the 2010 offense. 2010, they were 17th in the league in runs per game. This team this year is 22nd. That team averaged a home run per game. This team has hit 89 home runs in 97 games. So this offense, even though they've got a couple of new acquisition, allegedly big boppers, this team dreams about being the offensive juggernaut that 2010 was.
I totally disagree, because you're bringing up stats that aren't the larger view. We did this a few weeks ago. Runs per game are like almost even. The Giants have been down a little bit late.
No, it's place in the league. The runs per game. Runs per game for everyone this year is down, but this team is 22nd. That team was 17th. So that team, relative to the other teams, was better than this team is relative to their teams.
I mean, to say they dream about it, my point, 17th, 22nd, that's pretty close. I think these teams are pretty good comp, actually. I'm not saying this team's better than that team. I'm saying they averaged a similar number of runs. People got mad at the lack of run support. You had starting pitchers and bullpen arms who were the lead of the team. And we would sit there and yell, can you please get more hits? Stop making everything so difficult in the eighth and ninth inning. It's the exact same characteristic. I'm not saying they're the exact same team. And they had almost the same record. It's a very similar fan experience, is my point.
Yeah, it's similar, but my point is this offense is actually worse. And you mentioned the fact that they lead the league in walk-offs, and I think they also lead the league in one-run victories, which, as we know in the NFL, it's not sustainable. When you win all these one-score games in the NFL, at some point you're going to regress back to the mean, and the Giants have a great bullpen, so they can win more one-run games than the average team, but they've been too reliant this year on the walk-off and the one-run win.
888-957-9570. Which team would mean the most to you if they were to rock a championship sometime soon? We can get to that. We've also got to play for you what Mark Spears said yesterday about the Warriors and Al Horford. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Jason Richardson is a half hour away, and so is our All-Star Week prize blowout giveaway. We'll tell you more about that coming up next. Dibs is in Vegas for Summer League. This is Willard and Dibs.
And Dan Dibley, as mentioned, on the road and still able to talk, though, about Fremont Bank, a family-owned bank with the family-owned feel. And it's been my bank now for more than 6 years, and I'm super glad to be a part of Fremont Bank because they are so deeply committed to contributing to my goals as a client and also empowering my community. Fremont Bank is celebrating 60 years in business, and when they set out to do this back in 1964, what they wanted to build was not only a bank, but a local ecosystem built alongside and with the people in the community to foster relationships that help make the Bay Area better. When you deposit your money with Fremont Bank, it gets reinvested into home ownership and philanthropy and businesses and everything else that makes the Bay Area so great. Go into a branch and see exactly for yourself what full service banking looks like. It's Fremont Bank, here for you and here for good.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.